Welcome to the Banega Swasth India podcast. Our focus is on creating a holistic and healthy India for each and every one. Our goal is Lakshya Sampurna Swasthika, where citizens, individuals, society, and governments work together to ensure health for all. So to talk about the new viruses, future-proofing for further future pandemics, we have with us someone who's done exceptional work during the COVID-19 pandemic. He was the face during COVID-19, helping us answer many queries. So we have with us Dr. Rundeep Guleria. Thank you so much for joining us.
First thing what we would like to know is about the H3N2 virus. So what are the symptoms? How can one take care as in a prevention? Why do we see the sudden spike in the number of cases in our country?
So H3N2 is an influenza virus. And the symptoms are very similar to what we call a flu-like syndrome. You have fever, body aches, cold, running nose, sore throat, cough, and sometimes you can have a lot of backache and fatigue. Usually they last 5 to 6 days and become all right after that. The cold, cough, and body aches can persist for a few more days. Okay. Now, why are we seeing more of H3N2 cases now? And I think that there could be about two or three reasons for that. The first reason is that, you know, for the last 2 to 3 years, we've been following COVID-appropriate behavior, wearing our masks, washing our hands regularly, maintaining physical distance if possible. That has helped in preventing the spread of a large number of respiratory viruses, not only COVID, but influenza also. And therefore, we saw a decrease in respiratory viral infections because of this. Secondly, because of all of this, and because COVID was the dominant virus, influenza virus was not that prevalent or circulating in the community. Therefore, I think over the last 2 years, our immune system became less responsive to the influenza virus because we did not have influenza. So our immune system was never triggered to develop, stay alert for influenza. And therefore, we had a lower immunity against influenza because we were already looking from COVID rather than another virus. And thirdly, I think the virus also changed a little bit, what we call an antigenic drift. It mutated a little bit and that caused it to become more infectious. And with the change in weather, and we know that in tropical countries like India, we tend to see influenza more during the change of weather in monsoon months. All of that led to a surge in the number of cases.
So collectively, like it's all happened together. So what is the key difference in the symptoms of H3N2 and COVID-19 and what are the precautions we should be taking?
So it's very difficult clinically to differentiate whether this is COVID or whether this is influenza. And classically, I've had patients who thought they had COVID, they got their test done, it was negative, then I told them to get the influenza swab taken for influenza virus and it turned out to be positive. So fever, cough and cold are very, very similar. The precautions that you need to take are pretty similar. You need to, if you're going out to a crowded place, wear your mask, and I'd say especially the high-risk group because they are more prone to having a severe illness. So the elderly, those with comorbidities, if you have a chronic respiratory disease, if you have a heart disease, if you're on immunosuppressant drugs, on chemotherapy, if you're on dialysis, then if you're going out, wear your mask and be a little bit careful. Wash your hands regularly and try and avoid crowded places, especially if they're indoor crowded places, because this is a place where the virus can stay in the air for a long time and you could get the infection. So those precautions one needs to take. And also, if you're healthy right now, you have no symptoms, it may be worthwhile to take the vaccine. The current influenza vaccine also gives you protection against H3N2.
Okay, so the vaccine, again, it plays a very important role. So what is the key treatment, the current treatment which you all are giving for H3N2?
So by and large, in most patients, you would give symptomatic treatment. In those who have more severe infection, we have a drug, which is an antiviral drug, oseltamivir, which is available in India. It was popularly known as Tamiflu when it was used in 2009 for H1N1. It is a drug against influenza and it is easily available in India. So those who have more severe infection, we start that. It's an antiviral drug. It decreases the viral load. But by and large, the treatment is predominantly symptomatic. Treatment for fever, treatment for cold, a good diet, maintaining your nutrition, and taking good amount of fluids, that is what is usually helpful as far as treatment is concerned.
Dr. Guleria, you did explain us, why we see the spike in the influenza, but also we've been last, few days, we've been also hearing about the rise in the COVID-19 cases. Is there a correlation between the two? Do you think, again, being very negative, but do you think we should be prepared for another pandemic or another wave?
So two things. One is the factors are the same, that we are not following COVID appropriate behavior. The weather is conducive for respiratory viral infection to spread. So both influenza and COVID are respiratory viral infections. So there's a surge in the number of cases.
Okay.
And I feel that possibly there are more cases than what we're picking up, because large number of people are getting the rapid antigen test done at home but are not reporting it. So number of cases being reported are less, and therefore it's, I think, important that people report if they're positive. But for various reasons, people are not coming.
Authorities are prepared.
Yeah. So that we have the exact number or have a better idea of the number of cases. I don't think we'll see another pandemic like we've seen in the past, for the fact that when we started in 2019, 2020, we had no immunity. This was a novel virus, and we were all prone to getting infection, and our system was not sort of tuned to fight the viral infection. But a lot has happened in the subsequent 2.5 to 3 years. We've developed natural immunity by getting the infection, and not only one, some people have got repeated COVID infections. We've got immunity by the vaccination. And because of that, I would say that almost the entire population or a large part of the population has now developed a good immune response to the COVID-19 virus. And therefore, now we should not see the type of peaks or waves that we've seen over the last 2 years or so.
Okay, and how prepared are hospitals as of now when we talk about the H3N2 virus? And what are the, you know, what are the precautions that the authorities should be taking for this virus? Are the hospitals in India prepared across the nation, not just the capital?
Yes, I think hospitals have learnt a lot from the pandemic. And they are prepared in terms of how to manage cases, in terms of both serious cases, in terms of isolation, in terms of the treatment strategies, and in terms of oxygen requirement. And even in remote areas now, there are good oxygen facilities as far as oxygen is concerned. We need to have a good surveillance.
Okay.
And when we're talking of surveillance, it's not only for COVID or for influenza. It's a surveillance for any viral infections. So if you see a cluster of cases, you see someone in a remote area, suddenly you have a large number of people reporting with symptoms which are out of the ordinary, there should be a mechanism that you quickly test and find out, is it a novel virus, is it a new viral outbreak, is it a virus which has mutated? You develop strategies of containment and treatment and don't allow it to spread. So good surveillance and an action plan, and that the government already has in place. So that is something which will help in picking up an outbreak early, having an idea of what is happening, and also develop a surveillance which is hospital-based. You may have an outbreak which is happening, but it's not causing too many admissions. That may still not be that much of a concern. So are we suddenly seeing a surge in a particular area of people coming to the hospital or getting admitted because of a virus? Then we should find out the reason. So surveillance is what we call sentinel surveillance in various hospitals across the country, and also community-based surveillance, that are we seeing a sudden increase in a particular, let's say, symptoms in an area, and then start investigating early to find out the cause and develop strategies to prevent it from spreading to other parts.
Okay. So just, you know, another one again, it's a lot of people want to know that why is there that we see, you know, the viruses are repeating, they're coming, making a comeback, especially after COVID-19. So should we be worried about this?
So viruses have been making a comeback, and like I said, the last 23 years have been, this century has been the century of outbreaks, from SARS, MERS, H1N1, swine flu, to COVID-19, to Ebola outbreaks in various parts of the world. So I think what we're seeing is the fact that we are going to see more and more viral outbreaks because of us traveling more. We're traveling like never before. And when we travel, we carry the virus from one place to the other. There's a lot of encroachment between, let's say, animals, plants, animals, birds, and humans.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that encroachment happening, and because of that, the viruses will jump species, and they will then evolve into human viruses. And that is why there's also this concept of one health, that we need to start looking at health of not only humans, but health of animals, health of birds, health of plants, and environmental health.
I think that's put really well, all the points which you've added, that it's supposed to, I mean, get all the stakeholders together, ensure that we use, whether it's technology, and make sure this is affordable for everybody, reaches all, so which means health for all, and most importantly, I think what you rightly said, preventive rather than curative. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Bileria, for joining us.
Thank you.
That's it on the Banega Swasth India podcast this week. If you have comments, queries or suggestions on the topic we discussed today or issues you would like us to cover in future, do write to us on bsipodcast@ndtv.com. Remember, BSI stands for Banega Swasth India. You can also connect with us on Banega Swasth India handles on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and continue the conversation through the week. Till next week, this is Ambika Singh Kama signing off. Stay healthy and stay safe.